This is Startups for the Rest of Us, episode 126. Welcome to Startups for the Rest of Us, the podcast that helps developers, designers, and entrepreneurs be awesome at launching software products, whether you've built your first product or you're just thinking about it. I'm Dan.
And I'm Ian.
And we're here to share our experiences to help you avoid the same mistakes that we've made. Well, Ian, we've got a really surprising phone call from Rob and Mike, the guys who founded this podcast last week, and they were saying that I guess they felt a little bit uncomfortable about doing the show every week.
I mean, basically what they said was our startups have been acquired, and we no longer feel like we're essentially the rest of us anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they got so awesome at launching software products that they no longer felt like they could really speak for us. So I guess they looked around and to the people that they knew that were talking and maybe continuing to make sort of these beginner-level mistakes, and it's sort of a backhanded compliment, right?
It's really cool that they thought of us first, obviously, as guys that were kind of like the rest of us.
Here we are. And so we're long-term fans of Startups for the Rest of Us, so we couldn't be more honored to be here. Ian and I have another podcast called Lifestyle Business Podcast, where we talk about our passion for location-independent businesses. And we own a cat furniture and portable bar company, so more of a product company. But we do have a team of developers and internet marketers that work for us. And that's part of what we're going to talk about today. Because over the course of 5 years growing a seven-figure business, we have over 10 employees. This skill set of sort of stress-free and effectively managing people across the world becomes very difficult, and making sure that they're being productive without being that hound and just sort of micromanaging them.
Back in 2007, me and you, we started this product company, and one of the edges that we had back then was we understood a little bit more about the internet than, say, our competition. And right out of the gate, we knew that we had to hire a web developer, somebody that could actually build Drupal sites for us. We didn't know Drupal, and we were on Yahoo Store in the beginning.
Yeah, buddy.
So you moved east in search of contract workers at a lower cost because we knew we couldn't afford $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 in U.S. development. And so that's kind of what got us started on contract workers and overseas workers.
Yeah, I think, you know, we have this list of stress-free or management practices that did not work out for us. And I think one of the things that didn't really work out for us was traveling to those countries. So if you're going to be hiring people in the Philippines or in Eastern Europe or whatever, it wasn't a particularly great or effective strategy to actually go there. And so we're going to talk about some reasons you can just bypass all of that in this episode. The other thing that we've tried and didn't really work is project management software. You know, for one reason or another, Ian, you know, I know Rob's using Trello right now, but Basecamp, we've used a bunch of different solutions, never really stuck in our company. It always sort of added a layer of complexity on top of what we were already doing.
Yeah, I'm sure Golden Boy Mike Tabor probably just codes something up real quick. You know, it's like, oh, this is our custom chat window, you know, but for the rest of us, we just don't kind of have that kind of stuff.
It's not good enough for the rest of us. One other thing that didn't work for the rest of us was sort of constant chat window. We use Campfire, another 37 signal solution. That didn't really work for us. But here's the punchline. Over the last 6 months, we've incorporated a whole new strategy that's been allowing us to manage our team of over 10 remote employees stress-free, effectively, and we're going to start walking through what works today. So first off, a little bit of background reading. There are three books that we've sort of pieced together this philosophy from. The first is David Allen. This is for your personal productivity. We're going to talk about some concepts today from getting things done and how they relate to team management. The second concept or the second background book is called Mastering the Rockefeller Habits, and that's from a guy named Vern Harnish. And in that book, he talks about how to manage a growing team. If your startup is going to be successful, eventually you're going to have a team behind it. And Vern Harnish is going to help you get your head around what that's going to feel like to go from 3 to 5 to 10 employees. Finally, a book that focuses on the structure of how to actually manage the nuts and bolts of managing that team, Work the System by Sam Carpenter. And there's also a great Mixergy interview out there on the interwebs by Sam Carpenter that you can find. And these are really the three, sort of the golden triangle of background reading material. If you can read these three books, these will help you to understand this episode a little bit better, because a lot of what we're going to talk about is actually very actionable coming up. So it wouldn't hurt for you to download this, maybe listen to it the first time, and then implement it the second listen through after you've read these books.
So what's working for us right now, Dan?
What we found that is working is having these things that we're calling strategic operating documents. And we're going to go through the specific elements that make up those documents. But first, just the broad strokes. We're finding that results-based reporting on a weekly basis is working for our team.
So one of the things that we've asked everybody on our team to do is send us an email at the end of the week on Friday at a specific time. And so that makes it easy for you and me to kind of go through our emails systematically and say, you know, we've got all the reports from everyone. In this report, depending on their position, is a bunch of KPIs that Yes. we are using to kind of judge the health of the business.
Yeah, and we'll get into that a little bit more in detail, but they're using a program called Boomerang, which I know Rob and Mike have brought up quite a few times on this show, which makes sure that those reports from all of our team members come into our inbox at 5 p.m. on Fridays. We work off GMT plus 8. So, you know, your business ought to have that kind of pillar time zone. For us, GMT plus 8, 5 p.m., boom. All those weekly reports based on those results-oriented KPIs are in our inbox. Those are key progress indicators in your business. And in selecting them, is a work of critical importance. We'll talk about that a little bit later. The second thing that's working for us is allowing our employees to have uninterrupted times of work. So as you know, developers, you don't want to be bugging them all day long about what are you doing and sort of playing patty cake all day long. We're finding that allowing people to have uninterrupted times of work is part of what makes this system work so well.
Sat down with one of our designers this week, Dan, and we are having some issues getting projects done on time. I think any creative or anybody banging out codes has this issue as well. You really have to give yourself, like, you know, a certain amount of hours during the day to do creative work, and then a certain amount of hours of the day to do like grunt work or follow-up work, things like that.
Yeah, and that's why, like, you know, part of this process is that you've got these daily phone calls where you sort of catch up. But then, you know, this is where this system is more successful than like a campfire chat system. Because what you're doing is then you're like sort of setting the tone for the day, you're removing obstacles, and then you're giving people these large, uninterrupted areas of time where they can be creative. Two other things that are working sort of at the broad level is the buddy system. Pretty simple, but making sure that everybody on your team has a buddy has been huge for us. Because it's really easy for people to sort of get forgotten about at the bottom of the chain. And so by pairing everybody up with a buddy on your team and making sure that they're helping each other work through problems, we found that we keep people on task and more engaged with our business. The final thing, Ian, is frequent touching base sessions to ensure wires aren't getting crossed. And this is something that you're going to define in a procedure in terms of how you interact with your team. So if you're just starting out and you have a high growth startup, you're probably going to want to touch base with your team on a daily basis, and you're going to want to have a process for how you're doing that. And so we'll talk a little bit more about how to specifically do that when we get to that procedure list. So here's the beauty of the system, Ian, is that you don't need much to get it done. This is very cheap. Now, all you need is a little bit of elbow grease. So let's go over some of those things.
You know, when we travel, a lot of times you're in Asia, maybe I'm in the US, we're heading to Europe. And so these time zones get kind of crazy, right? So you kind of have to pick a time where you can talk to everyone on your team. And I think that's really important. So one of the things that I do when I'm in Asia is I stay up really late, and then I talk to our team in the US really early in the morning. As a manager, I think that it really helps if you're flexible in the hours in which you can work. And I think that's a little bit more difficult for guys that have families.
Sure.
The next thing that's related to that is the sliding time widget. I find the one that comes on the MacBook is pretty good. And so we all get on the same page in terms of that. But we have blown a lot of different meetings not being on the same time schedule.
So the one thing that's really helped us in that end is getting our team trained up on Google Calendar. So if you become a Google Calendar power user, and you're good at adjusting your time zones when you travel around, I found that to be the best way to solve this problem. Because Google Calendar will then send you an email an hour before your meeting saying your meeting's in an hour. And finally, we're using Skype with a combination of GoToMeeting in order to have these meetings. And GoToMeeting now has a feature where you can do video chat, which is pretty sweet. Those are only the four tools that you need in order to execute this process, which we're going to walk you through right now. And this is interesting because, you know, most things we try to implement, Ian, they break very quickly. And this strategic operating document process has been so effective in our business that it's just evolved along with it.
Yeah, I'd say, you know, it works for the rest of us. I don't know about, you know, guys that have been acquired and things like that. I mean, it might not work on that level.
You know, here's the cool thing about having these strategic operating documents is it is building the software of your business out. Like, there are processes, whether or not you've articulated or not, that deliver value to your clients, to your users. And if you're not writing them down, you're leaving it on the table and you're, you know, making it more difficult for you to manage people across the scope of your business. I mean, we were just talking the other day, Ian, we were looking at two of our processes. It was like process number two, which is our customer service process, and process number five, which is like our customer follow-up process. And we were like, should we hire somebody for number two and number five? And it becomes this really empowering way to run your business because you can look at like, all right, well, how much does it cost to execute number two and number five? Like, will we see ROI on it? You can have these conversations readily at hand. And that's part of what this system empowers us to do.
I was in a department store earlier today. I realized when I was standing in line at the cash register, there's not one thing probably that goes on in this store that isn't part of a process. And that's obviously what makes the store very efficient. There's never any decisions to be made in the store. You know what I mean? If you're sitting at the Gap, like everybody there knows exactly what their job is. When it comes to process and like getting stuff done, it's really, really effective.
I think for us, Ian, you know, we're just getting started as entrepreneurs. We've only been in the game for 5 years. We don't know about all this stuff. And it's really easy, especially in like the startup world, to think that like, well, all you need is like really smart people in a beanbag, right? And then like everything's going to sort of work out. And what we found like sort of against our creative inclinations is that when we sit down and earnestly write out this fundamental bedrock, these fundamental processes of what our business is, it's empowered everybody in our business to be more creative. And it changes the whole way that you relate to people because instead of, hey, why did you make that judgment? It becomes, what was broken about our process that we can now fix together as a team so that we don't ever make a bad decision in that same way again? So if you guys want to model what we've done with our business in your business, here's how you would do it. You would open up a document in Google Docs and you would call it SOD. And you would bookmark it on your toolbar. And this is your most important document in your business. So I would put it at the left, right next to the back arrow in Chrome. All right, so there's going to be four parts of your strategic operating document. There's going to be, in reverse order, your strategic objective, which is going to be at the bottom of the document. And I'll tell you why shortly. Your second part is going to be your operating principles. The third part is going to be your operating procedures. And your fourth part is going to be your open projects with GTD queues. So let's go through those four parts and talk about why they're important and how you're going to execute them. So the first step is to write your strategic objective. Strategic objective, Ian, is like, you know, we've read this book called Start with the Why by Simon Sinek. And the idea is that your startup, your business, is trying to advance a set of ideals in the world. So let's use Audit Shark as an example. The strategic objective of Audit Shark could look something like this. Our goal is to help our clients and users like sleep better at night because they know that they have the most effective security system installed on their servers.
I like it. So Audit Shark is really a sleep aid.
That's right. So the whole idea here is that Mike's not going to be attached to that particular instantiation of that mission, so like his current code base. But if something comes along that would help his users sleep better at night, in other words, to have a higher level of security, he would hopefully try to generate that for them. And that's sort of what the strategic objective helps you to do, helps you to focus on why do you exist? What do you believe in? What's the fundamental sort of founding charter of what your company is trying to push forward in the world? So if you look at our podcast, for example, Ian, the strategic objective is to help people grow sustainable, long-term businesses that allow them to live anywhere on the planet. All right. So the second part of your SOD, your strategic operating document, is the operating principles. And these operating principles are basic guidelines for action that empower your employees to make these gray area decisions. So, you know, a classic example of this at Facebook is like, you know, break things. So, you know, if you have a developer on your team who's trying to make a decision, well, should I like tell the boss about this new code update or should I ship it and then iterate? For Audit Shark, that would be a bad principle, right? Because your primary mission is to help people sleep well at night, so you don't want wonky code shipping. But if you're Facebook and you want to be an innovative social brand, maybe you just ship that code and see how the users behave. So that's where having operating principles are going to help people instantiate vis-a-vis their actions. And my favorite operating principles, and I found the most useful ones, are the ones around how we serve our customers. And, you know, in particular, like what level of responsiveness should we have? Or what should be the customer's experience when they deal with us? Like, one of our operating principles is that it should always be easy for customers to deal with us. So we never try to put friction back on our customers. Instead, we're trying to grease that wheel constantly. Like, everything is no problem.
Sort of like dealing with Amazon or AAA or a couple of these other great companies like American Express that just have superb experiences, especially if you're paying them a large sum of money.
All right. You guys are probably thinking, where does the rubber hit the road? Well, we got some rubber end road for you here in the next level of this document, the third level called operating procedures. Okay. And this is where really the meat and potatoes is, because this is the moment in your document when basically this is a bulleted list and every single process in your business that delivers value to your customers or helps the business run as a whole is going to start getting written out and fleshed out in this document. And the most important standard operating procedure, so we call these SOPs, is going to be the team communication SOP. And your team communication SOP is going to outline when you get on the phone with your employees, what you do when you're on the phone with them, and why you do it. And literally, I have a document right now called Team Communication SOP. If you open it up, it basically says, you guys get on the phone Monday morning at 11:30, GMT plus 8. Here's who gets on the phone, and here's how you talk about what you talk about. The three questions we generally ask are, what did you do leading up to the call? What are the projects you're going to take on today? And are there any obstacles in your way? And those are the three, and you can see, like, it's so granular, but everybody's on the same page. You know, you don't have these, like, little frustrations sort of corroding your relationship with your contractors or employees.
We see, like, little bits and pieces of this, Dan, in our business everywhere. So, like, we open up the episode sheet to do a podcast. There's an operating procedure for the podcast. I was in the office the other day trying to pull up the QuickBooks file. There's an SOP written for how to find the QuickBooks file.
Yes, absolutely. And we were talking about those weekly reports earlier, Ian. Those are really important to our business and us as owners knowing what our investments, our employees are doing. We have a standard operating procedure for how to create those reports. And so it's TWBI, NWBI, which would be this week's big initiative, next week's big initiative. We have those KPIs that we talked about earlier, and we make sure that everybody delivers that report at 5 p.m. So again, in your business, that's going to be unique, and you have to define exactly how you want to talk about it. But here's when it gets fun. So when I look at a report from one employee that is subpar for whatever reason, maybe their next week's big initiative is not ambitious enough, I actually go into the procedure and say, you know what? This procedure needs to define how we define ambition. So no longer does it become this kind of thing where even me as a manager, I'm thinking, ooh, I'm not sure about this employee anymore. I'm not thinking about that. I'm thinking about the process, the sort of fundamental software of my business that enables people, the employees, to sort of be them best, their best selves.
So for example, TWBI, this week's big initiative, might fall into the category of this project you need to spend at least 10 hours or it needs to yield this kind of result.
That's exactly right. And, you know, those initiatives are the things that show up at the very top of these weekly reports that we're talking about. I'll give you another anecdote. The other day, one of my long-term team members said, hey, I know we're hiring some new people. There's some of these email conventions that you do that they might find annoying if you don't flesh them out. Like, I know you as a person, but I'm just telling you from my corporate experience or whatever. I have this thing where, like, I forward emails to people and I say, FYI. So we always did this in our business, right? But we were under the assumption, Ian, because we came from the same corporate background, that that was a normal thing to do. So actually went into the team communication SOP, and we made this part of the document called communication protocol. And I told people, like, why I would forward with FYI, like precisely the reasoning behind that, what it means, and how people should behave when it happens. And it's very fascinating. Like, this seems, like you were saying, pedantic, but if it can help you avoid any level of frustration from a high-paid employee, you've already made your money back, and it scales. So it's interesting, you know, a lot of these sales protocols that we developed years and years ago, Ian, are being executed by people that we don't even talk to on a day-to-day basis. But they're actually opening up the sales protocols, and they're improving them when they find places of weakness.
A lot of the reason why we came to these conclusions is, well, first of all, we started reading some books. And then second, we went through these processes so many times of hiring people and having to train them and teaching them the same things. And then, you know what, like on the fifth or sixth person, you kind of just throw your book down or your computer down and you go, man, wouldn't it be nice to not have to repeat myself 100 times?
And part of the idea about writing these standard operating procedures is that they should be able to be executed by people off the street or by people with, like, a general, like if you have a Ruby developer or whatever, maybe a certain level of experience with Ruby. But the idea is that somebody can come off the street and execute this stuff. And, you know, it was an assumption on my part that people know what I mean when I do certain email conventions. Rather than being frustrated by new people that I hire, say they're a lot younger than me, maybe they never had corporate experience, like the old Dan would be like, oh, I'm just frustrated. Why doesn't this person know this stuff? The new Dan is like, that's a failure in my process. And as my business grows, I need to put the onus on the process if I want to scale the thing.
Correct.
All right. So finally, the fourth element of these documents, Ian, is our open projects with GTD queues after each open project. And again, in order to fully understand this, what we're talking about in this episode, you got to read those three books that we talked about beforehand. And we're not jerking you around. If you're growing a scaling team, managing a scaling team, these books are required reading. We would have been much better off had we read them earlier. So these four elements, the strategic objective, the operating principle, the operating procedures, and the open projects are situated on my document in reverse order. So when I open up that SOD at the top of my toolbar, the open projects with GTD queues is at the top.
So what's a GTD queue?
It would look like this. Right now on my SOD, I have about 15 open projects, and those are the projects that we're collaborating with our team. They're numbered in order of priority, and the GTD queues are the next actions. So who is responsible for the very next granular action in that project? One project is, for example, finalize our event deal with the hotel in Berlin. So that is at Friday call, because we're not going to do anything till we discuss it in Friday. There's another project that says at waiting for Patrick, because we're waiting for Patrick to get back to us on it. There's another project that says at Alyssa. So we're waiting for Alyssa to take the next action on that project. And so basically the way it works is it gets inverted is that these open projects are obviously the thing that we're dealing with the most. The SOPs are the thing that we're dealing with the second most. So anytime, like I just uploaded a podcast yesterday, Ian, I realized that our host had changed. And so we needed to change the IP address that was listed in that document. So those get changed on a daily basis. Your operating principles probably get changed on more like a monthly basis. And strategic objective, that's not going to change very often. So that's why we situate them in reverse order on this SOD document.
Yeah, I really like this open projects and GTD queues. And, you know, the GTD queues, Dan, that's just kind of part of our language that's evolved in our company. And so me and you and a couple other people in the company, we send each other emails and it'll say like, at Dan, at waiting, at this yes. response. And so it really becomes part of your language too, especially in our company.
One other thing about this open project list is that it's important that it's comprehensive, so that we go over open projects on Friday afternoons and we know that we've talked about everything, and we've next actioned everything in our business so that you can sleep well at night. You know, you don't have this idea that maybe something's leaking. Each thing, it's like you just touch it really briefly. And this is a process that I learned back in my corporate days when it actually saved us from having to hire an $80,000 a year operations manager. Instead, I pulled in my operations team. Instead of having somebody sitting on a spreadsheet all week long, once a week we came together and said, here's the complete an exhaustive list of open projects in our company. Let's next action each of them. And the reality is that most of them you're taking a punt on, Ian, right? You're saying, we don't have to think about that till Wednesday morning. So it's at Wednesday morning phone call. We don't have to think about that until Patrick gets back to us, at Patrick email, and so on.
Yeah, this is straight out of the GTD playbook. So I really recommend that book to everyone.
All right, guys. So, hey, if you have any questions about how you can get your SOD document in place and running in your business, feel free to send us an email, Dan at Lifestyle Business Podcast or Ian at LifestyleBusinessPodcast.com.
If you have a question for us, call our voicemail number at 1-888-801-9690 or email us at questions@startupsfortherestofus.com. Our theme music is an excerpt from We're Out of Control by Mute, used under Creative Commons. Subscribe to us in iTunes by searching for Startups or RSS at startupsfortherestofus.com, where you'll also find a full transcript of each episode. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.